I thought about what when Luke was reading and talking to us about the Lord's Supper. John 15, verses 12 through 14, just kind of hit me, because it kind of goes along, it doesn't kind of, but it does go along with the lesson that I'm going to be talking about this morning. John 15, beginning verse 12, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you." And so when I want you to think about those things, about loving one another, that's probably one of the toughest things that we do, because if we're not careful, sometimes our own selfishness gets in the way. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, "Therefore let him think who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And that's the other thing that we need to be careful of, is just how do we think about ourselves. And so I want to talk about the one another commandments this morning. There's approximately 60 commands that use one another, and it depends upon the translation that you use, but approximately 60 commands that do that. And like I said before, so why are they so difficult? Because what happens is that we have to put somebody else before ourselves, and sometimes that's not easy to do. And so when you look at what he said in the Philippians letter, he says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem others better than themselves." And so it takes a lot for us sometimes to esteem others better than ourselves, but God has commanded us to do that. And Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 24, he says, "But God composed the body of Christ, the church of Christ, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another." And so that continues, we look at this, is that we need to have that same care. I can't put one above the other. My care for you and your care for me should be the same. But what's interesting is in the love one another commands and one another commands, there's 8 prohibitive commands. And sometimes we focus on the love one another. But I want you to think about these things in Colossians. Paul, writing to Colossians, he says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." And so we're not to lie to one another. Writing to the Galatians, he says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." And if we're not careful, we can fall into this same trap. We can let ourselves be more holier than others, or think that we are. Paul, writing to the Romans in the 14th chapter, beginning in verse 12, he says, "So then let each of us give account of himself to God. Therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather let us resolve that not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way." And then James kind of follows through that. He says, "Don't speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." And so we make ourselves and we put ourselves in God's seat. And he continues in James in verse 12. He says, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. And who are you to judge another?" And we know that we need to judge with righteous judgment. But we need to be careful, because sometimes we can put ourselves in God's place, and we have no right to do that. We are not the one lawgiver. We are not the judge. Continues in James, he says, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." And so here's another negative command, right? Do not grumble against one another. I want to go back, and I think about this scripture a lot when Micah said this in Micah 6 and verse 8. "He has shown you, O man, what is good, And then he goes on with this question. He says, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? And so that's, when you look at what Micah said, is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And to love mercy is to love one another. It's to show others the mercy that we have been shown by God. And when you look at it, is love is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. And we all can make those choices in our lives. You know, each and every day we make choices. And those choices can be good and they can be bad. But love is not a matter of chance when it comes to God's word. It's a matter of choice. And love is a matter of the heart. And so we need to look at our heart. When we look into that mirror, we need to kind of find that. Who are we? Who am I? I may see myself as one way, and the world sees me as something different. In 1 John 3 and verse 11, and this is where we get into the positive commands for loving one another, that we need to do these things as God has commanded us. And he says that, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning. You heard this from the beginning, that we should love one another. And we just read this before when we talked about no greater love can one have for his friend that he lays down his life. And God exhibited that by giving his son, and Jesus exhibited that by dying for us on the cross. And so we need to, we've heard it from the beginning, and God has expressed his love for us. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, he says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And so when you look at that, we're taught by God to do that, because God is love. And he continues 1 John, the third chapter, and beginning in verse 23. He said, this is his commandment. It's not your commandment, it's not my commandment, but this is Jesus' commandment, that we should, that God's commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And so he gave us commandment to love one another, and Jesus exhibited that in the way that he lived and what he did for us. And 1 Peter, when we studied 1 Peter and 2 Peter not too long ago, but when you look at it, it says that since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Then he goes and says, in sincere love, not a hypocritical love, but in a sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And so that tells you what kind of love that we should have. Our love should be pure in nature, and it should be exhibited as God exhibited his love to us. And when you look at that word fervent, fervent means to exhibit a particular enthusiasm, a zeal, a conviction, a persistence, or a belief. And so when we are to have fervent love, we're supposed to exhibit all of these things. And then he goes on to say, this definition says, have or show emotional warmth, fervor, or passion. So once again, that's that fervent love that we should have one another. It should exhibit all these things. And people should see a love in us that glows, that burns, or and to be very hot. So that's the kind of love that we should have for one another. Peter goes on to say, and he says, above all these things, have fervent love for one another. And why? Because he tells us our love for others will cover a multitude of sins. I can forgive them, they can forgive me. And so for fervent love for one another will do that. It will cover the sins, a multitude of sins. So godly love is the key to our obedience to his word. And so when we look at God, what it is that his love for us should be the same that we have to others. Paul mentioned, he says, look, imitate me, not just because of who I am, but imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so that's the same thing that we should do, is that we should be imitators of Christ. And I'm going to let you, we're not going to go through all 60 of these verses, but the thing that I want us to see is every one of these verses, these commands for us, there should be things in there that we look at ourselves and look, I'm falling short, you know, and I need to get up and do the right things. And so when we look at these things, am I loving others the way that I should? Am I following the commands that God has given us through His Word? And so in 1 John 4, when he says, Beloved, let us love one another. And he gives us the reason why. Because he says, for love is of God. And then he goes on, he says, and everyone who loves, if we love, he says, everyone who loves is born of God. And this is the other part, is that he knows God. Not only are we born with a new birth, but we know God. But the other side is that we need to know God. I've mentioned this in the class before, and sometimes it's that when we look at Scripture and we read through them, we just can't just look at it and just read and say, I'm going to read my Bible, and that's all that we do. I want to put a picture up sometime of a chicken scratching on the ground. And you've heard me say is that we need to do more than chicken scratching. We need to dig deeper. Chickens don't dig deep. They don't look for treasure. But yet, we need to do that. We need to dig deeper. In John 4, he goes on, he says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And we talk about that. You know, Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life for us. And God did the same thing. If God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Then he goes on and says, no one has seen God at any time. And it's interesting that sometimes, you know, that we say that we love God, but we don't even love our brother whom we have seen, but yet we see that we love God whom we haven't seen. But he says, no one has seen God at any time. But then he goes on and he makes this statement. He says that if we love one another, God abides in us. That's because we know God. We know who he is. He knows who he wants us to be. And Josh had been talking about this, you know, in our classes. Be holy, for I am holy. And if we love God as he loves us, then we will be holy as he is holy. So if we love one another, God abides in us. And his love has been perfected in us. And so when people see us, they ought to see God. They ought to see God's love. And then it goes back to the body. And it says, so we, being many, the body, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. The body is made up of a whole different, we have our eyes, our ears, our hands. The congregation of God's people is not just made up of one person, it's made up of multiple members. And the church has to function as the body would function. All people are needed so that we might be able to function as Christ would want us to function in the body. And he goes on, Paul said in Romans, the 12th chapter, he says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. And and this is where we go back to the part that's hard for us, is learning to esteem others better than ourselves. Sometimes we just have to stop and put others first. That may mean that I'm not going to be able to do some things that I want to do, but I need to if I'm going to reflect God's love through my life and through my actions. And I want to stop right here for a second. I spoke with Susan Palmer and her son Daniel, and at the funeral they told me, and this is the love that you showed towards her, those of you who were able to go to the viewing on Wednesday. What was interesting to me is Daniel, the way he said it, he could see the love that the brethren here had for her. It was surprising to him, I think, that so many of you showed up at the visitation on Wednesday. But that's love. That's giving preference to someone else. And she's going to need help. She's going to need help going forward. Yes, her sons live here, but she wants to be here. She talked about even selling her house and have to move in with one of her sons, but she goes, I really don't want to do that because it could take me further away from the church that meets here. And that's where she wants to be. And so I just want you to position you to do that, as to watch, call for her, text her. She does that with a lot of you in here that I know. And so just check out and do that. And Bob is here this morning. And I love you, Bob, and Renee. But we've seen people, we've seen the love that people have shown towards him. And he'll tell you that, she'll tell you that. But that's putting others first, and that's what we need to do. Now, my heart goes out to James and Aline because they can't be here. But when you talk to them, where do they want to be on the Lord's Day? They want to be with you. But we need to show love towards them too. Calls, cards, or whatever. It really is very disappointing for them that they can't get out. And there are a number of others who have seen the love of putting others first. I know June's here this morning. You know, she's witnessed that and she's experienced that. Bobby's experienced it. There are so many of us in here have seen others experience the love of you towards them. And we just, you know, encourage you to continue to do the same. So be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. And then he goes on, he says, look, be of the same mind or toward one another. And so we need to have that same mindset towards one another. And he says, don't set your mind on things, on high things, the things that the world may put a lot of emphasis on. But he says, don't put your mind on things, high things, but associate with the humble. And don't be wise in your own opinion. You know, we all have opinions. And some of us, our opinions may be greater than we think they're better than anyone else's. And we don't understand why people don't see things our way. But Paul said, look, don't be wise in your own opinion. And then Romans 13, he continues with this whole process. Like when in Romans, if you go through there and just look at the number of times that he says these things and what he encourages them. He says, owe no one anything except to love one another. Does that mean you can't borrow anything or anything? It's not that. He says, owe no one except to love one another. If I love you, I'm going to repay whatever I've borrowed from you. But I'm not, that's part of the love. I'm going to give back, but I'm not going to try to hold it and keep it to myself. He says, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. And so our whole objective in this life, and we talked about it in class, is what is our purpose? Our purpose here is to love one another. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, he says that you speak the same thing. And we've talked about that, is that, you know, we just need to be of the same mind. We need to speak of the same thing. And so he says that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And so that will help us to grow together, to love one another as we should, if we can be of the same mind and have the same judgment. Paul, writing to the Galatians, he makes this comment, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, but don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. And so, we have liberties as Christians, but once again, to esteem others better than ourselves, that's what we need to do. He says, don't use it as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. And then be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And how many times have we heard people, because they're going to do something or show hospitality, and then they complain about it? You know, it's like when we do something, it's like, well, they don't appreciate it, or I've got to do this and do that. And so being hospitable becomes a chore. It's not an act of love. And he says, look, you be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Don't complain. Do all things in his name. And Paul, as he continues in Ephesians, and you see that, I hope you see this theme as we're going through this, is that these verses are just reminders of what we need to be doing. And he says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, he says, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling. And that's the whole process that we're talking about, that he called us out of this world of darkness. He says, you walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And he goes on, he says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. And sometimes some of us may be pretty hard to deal with. Some of us may be very difficult to bear with, but it says to do that. But hopefully, if we're the ones that we know that, and that we know that about ourselves, we need to change our actions so we're not hard to live with. But he says, bearing with one another in love. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And you cannot have a house divided amongst itself, cannot stand. Jesus said that. He says, you need to endeavor. It takes effort sometimes, you know, for us to keep the unity, especially when certain things happen and we don't agree with it because that's not in line with my opinion. But he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that's what holds us together, and what should hold us together is peace, and that bond of peace. Paul goes on in Ephesians 4. He says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And so we need to speak truth with each other. And sometimes maybe we just need to keep our mouth shut, because sometimes we want everybody to know what we're thinking, right? I need to get my opinion out there. But he says, let you speak truth with his number. And then he continues in Ephesians, he says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And then that's what we need to always think of, is that God forgave us through his Son. We need to have that same kindness one towards another, and we need to be a forgiving people, just as God forgave us. God is a giving God. We need to learn how to be a giving people as well. Paul continues in Colossians, the third chapter, he says, bearing with one another. Here's this, it's just the bearing with one another, helping each other through and forgiving one another. Remember what he said? He says, look, I speak the same thing in all churches. I don't preach one thing to Colossians. I don't preach one thing to the Ephesians. I haven't said one thing to the Romans or whatever. He says, I preach the same thing in all churches. And we see this. Because in Colossians, he says, look, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. So Christ forgave us. God, through Christ, forgave us. And we need to imitate him. He continues in this part of Colossians, the third chapter. He says, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And that's what we talked about before. Don't be like a chicken just scratching the surface. We got to dig. And we got to be able to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom. He says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We just did that this morning. And so sometimes when we sing, sometimes we think we just sing words, but we need to be thinking that we're singing our praises to God, but we're also encouraging one another. And in Galatians, the fifth chapter, he says, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But here goes the negative part, right? But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And how many places or how many, like, jobs, have you just seen, like, companies just fall apart because it's just like this infighting? And there have been congregations that have split over just certain things that just they can't get rid of it. And so they bite and they consume with one another, and pretty soon they destroy the body. James in the fifth chapter, he says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. And so we need to do that. We need to be praying. And I know that we do that. I know that people tell me all the time, you know, I'm praying for this person or I'm praying for that person. Or what's really good is when somebody comes and says, I need prayers. I get emotional. When Susan, she sent me a text, and I forwarded it to everyone, and I think she even put it on that WhatsApp Saints chat, is that I need your prayers. Here's a person begging for your prayers, and it's something that we can do for each other, is that we can pray for one another that you may be healed. He says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so sometimes there's situations that we go to our brother or sister, and I said, look, forgive me, you know, and pray for me, and I'll pray for you. And so, once again, we just need to do those things. Paul writing to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter, he says, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. So let the Lord, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love. Don't stay stagnant, grow in love. And then the final verse this morning, appropriately, he says, finally, in 1 Peter, the third chapter, he says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. And Dennis talked about it in his class, about us inheriting a kingdom that's coming. And so when you look at it, he says that you were called to this, that you may inherit that blessing. And so we need to think about these things. We need to love God. We need to love each other. And we need to do good for one another. So just remember this as I close this morning, is that our love for one another is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. I have a choice whether I love you as God wants me to love you, and you have a choice to love me or someone else the way he wants you. It's a choice. It's not a chance. And an obedience to the gospel is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. You can't become a child of God without making a choice. We either make a choice by continuing to live in this world like we are living now, or we make a choice to be obedient to God's word and become a child of God through obedience, through being baptized into Christ and being born again. But then again, sometimes we make bad choices, right? And next thing you know, we find ourselves falling back into the way of the world. And there's some things that sometimes it may be just between me and a brother or me and a sister or vice versa. And we can take care of those things privately. Or it may be between just us and God. But sometimes it's a matter of public nature. And sometimes those confessions need to be made publicly. So if you have need of being obedient to the gospel this morning, either by putting on Christ in baptism or by confessing a public sin that brethren know about, you know, we welcome you to come forward as we stand and sing.